pictures in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
All right, verse 5. Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. The house he's talking about is to build the temple. They had been housed, operating out of the tabernacle for many, many years, and now it was time to build a permanent dwelling place for God in Jerusalem, and this would be the temple. And David's heart was to build a exceedingly magnificent place for God, that it would be famous and glorious throughout all countries, that every country in the world would know about this magnificent building that was in Jerusalem, that was there to honor God. He said, I will now make preparations for it. So David made abundant preparations before or up to his death. So David said, I'm going to make preparations for it. I'm going to gather all the things that will be necessary to build this magnificent structure. I'll have the plans made up. I'll have all of the necessary materials brought in from other countries, all of the fine work of, and all of the amazing architecture that's going to go into this building will all be prepared beforehand. And David did so all the way to the time of his death. Then he called his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, God of Israel. David said to Solomon, he said, my son, as for me, it was in my mind, in my heart, to build a house in the name of the Lord. But the word of the Lord came to me in verse 8, and he told me that you have shed much blood, and you have made great wars, and you shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. So David says, it was in my heart, in my mind, I so much wanted to be the builder. I wanted to do it. But God said, no, not you. You can do the preparations, but you're not going to do the building because you have been involved in too many wars. You have been a warrior. You have been the one who has brought victory to Israel on every side. And all of Israel's enemies have been defeated by you. And therefore, I have decided that you will not be the one to build my house, my temple, but I will instead choose your son, Solomon, to do so. Behold, a son shall be born to you, in verse 9, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all of his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, which means the one who receives peace. Solomon means the one who receives peace. And I will give peace and quietness to Israel throughout his days. So there's the story in the Old Testament of God who decided that David, as much as David had a relationship with God and David honored God and David walked with God, David did amazing things with the Lord and the Lord working his ways through David's life. David was not permitted to build the temple because he was the man of war. He was the one that God used to enact the victory over the enemy. But instead, Solomon, the one who received the benefit of David's victories. Solomon received the benefit. David won the wars. Solomon enjoyed the peace. And so Solomon, the man of peace, would be the one to do the building, not David the man of war. So it was it's an amazing little story. You wouldn't think much of it when you read through it until you get to the New Testament and you realize that this was a great picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. And how David is a type of Christ often in the Bible. And because of David's victories, we said Solomon had peace. In fact, verse 18 says rest on every side. But so God would choose Solomon to build the house. And we, like Solomon in the New Testament, are like, we are very much like Solomon in the sense that Jesus was the man of war. He went and fought the battle. He went and he was born in Bethlehem. He lived the 33 years being attacked constantly throughout his life and tempted to sin over and over again, but never did. He was the one that was challenged by the devil. He was the one that had to endure great spiritual struggle. They even emphasized so greatly to us in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the one that had to go to the cross and defeat the devil there. He's the one that enacted victory over the world, the flesh and the devil there on Mount Calvary. He was the great man of war. He was the one, the battle was the Lord's. The war was his to fight. And the war was his to win. And then from his victory, you and I receive peace. We enjoy the peace of what he won for us. He did the work. He fought the fight. He lived the life. He died in our place. He went to the cross. He battled through every temptation. He was tempted in all points, the Bible tells us, but never failed, not even once. So he was the great conqueror. And through his victory, you and I are the recipients of his peace. He won the peace for us. So there was a parallel here between David and Solomon, between Jesus and ourselves. And so we have that today. We are the Solomons, if you will, of those who have received peace because of what Christ has done. And it is our task, just as it was Solomon's task, to be involved in the building of the house of God. The building of the house of God. And when we talk about the house of God, we're not talking about a physical structure. The house of God can be a community center like we're in today. It can be out in the middle of a field somewhere. We used to, back in my Puerto Rico days, they had a church called Caracumba. They used to meet out in the woods. And they had a little circle. They cut all the trees down. They met there every week. Rent was very cheap. And a lot of young people, of course, went to it. It was a lot of nature lovers and stuff. But it was nice. It was in the open air and stuff. But the church doesn't matter what structure you have. That's just a place to meet. The church is the people of God. And that's why Ephesians 2:22 says this, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. So where is the dwelling place of God? Is it in a physical structure? No, it's in his people. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, the last part of that verse says, you are God's building. You are God's building, not some physical structure. Anywhere on this planet, you are God's building. In the Old Testament, we had the tabernacle. That was God's building. Then we had a temple. That was God's building. And we had a few temples because some of them got destroyed. Then they were rebuilt. They were God's dwelling place. When those temples were built, the glory of God filled them. But in the New Testament, there's no such structure. The time of grace that we're living in, the church age, the church is the dwelling place of God. He lives in his people. That's why 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That verse is more and more important than just for dieters. All the dieters use it. But it goes way beyond dieting. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are individually God's place of habitation. we are also corporately together as a group, and not only us, but every other church who is truly born again and truly put their faith in Christ and have received his Holy Spirit within them. They are also members of a universal church, a universal habitation where God is dwelling in his people. That's why we are the lights of the world, because we have God who is light in us. And every place else where God is not is darkness or ignorance. So the principle we have from the Old Testament, from 1 Chronicles 22, is that God's work within us, since we are the building he's building, he's not that Jesus did the work and won the victory. You and I are Solomons. We receive the peace and the benefit from the victory, and we are given the task of co-laboring with God to build the building. But the building can only be built by a man of rest. Solomon is the man of rest. So the building can only be built by a man of rest, a man of peace, a man who's not engaged in struggle. He's not striving. He's resting in what has been done for him and the victory that's been won for him. He's resting. He's not struggling. And he is going to be, it's in that mode will he be able to work and build the building, as God so does with him. So the principle is that God's work within me, personally, and among us, corporately, as a group, is accomplished when I am resting, when you are resting, and we are not struggling. Struggle is trying to fix what needs to be fixed. Struggle is that God saying, that's wrong, you got to fix that, and I go to work and try to fix it. And I'm struggling against this sin in my life and that problem in my life and that weakness in my life and this bad habit in my life. And I'm turning over another new leaf this year. I've turned over 8,734 new leaves, but this is 8,735th leaf. I'm turning it over again. I'm going to try harder. I'm struggling with myself, struggling with me, trying to do better, trying to be a Christian, trying to live up to standards, trying to use my will and my human strength to do something for God, and always ending up in failure, one way or another. That's the struggle. Struggle is the flesh trying to be a Christian. Struggle is a person who looks at the Bible and says, okay, I got to be good so I can go to heaven. Because only the good go to heaven, the bad go to hell. And then you go to Matthew 22, you find out that the wedding feast in heaven, God invited the bad and the good. And the only thing that was different was he made them put on a robe of righteousness, which he gave them as a gift. And that's what the grace of God is, the free gift of somebody who says, here, I'm not requiring anything from you, just receive what I've done. We'll start there.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible